might be a little bit dangerous. I have a weapon in either hand. So you'll have to watch me as we go through here this morning. I'd like to ask those that are going to Guyana this year to please stand so I don't forget going through here. Dean and John. John, you're already standing. Dean, Darlene, April, and Jay will be the campaigners that are going this year as we leave August 4th. Thank you. This morning, I would like to do this twofold. I would like to share with you some of the work that has been going on in Guyana. And the other side of the coin is I'd like to challenge you to the ministry that you are taking part of in the kingdom. And as we look at this, at the end of services when Brian has the announcements, we're going to have a special contribution. If you're able to help, that's great. If you're not able to help, that's fine. Your prayers and the help that you have given this year have done the things that are going to go up before you and many things that I'm not going to be able even to mention this morning because of your love and your prayers and your generosity. And so as we go through this morning, I'd like to allow you to see, and if you could turn the lights down for me a little bit, John. The question that I would like us to look at is, what has God called you to do? Now, we're going to be sharing with you the things, as I express them for myself, the things that have been on our hearts about Guyana and Kamaka. And we're going to share with you a fire and a passion that has been so strong that has driven us over the years to sacrifice and to go and just do many things and involve many of you in the work. And the question that I would like to leave is, what is God calling you to do also? For Guyana, for Kamaka, for us, it is Kamaka and Guyana. The thought, what would God do through you if we were able to hear him correctly? This is in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 30. For we are God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I would like to propose to you that you are healthiest, you feel best, you feel more like you should in every way that you can when you're fulfilling the way that you were made. We are made in God's image, so we are made to love. We are made to share. We are made to sacrifice. We are made to give everything that we have to others. And I'm saying when we do that and when we complete that, we are completed because that's the way we are. That's the way we're made. And when you do things in your life that are opposite of that, contrary to that, we're selfish. We do what we want to do. We spend our whole life serving ourselves. Then it is just wrong. It just doesn't click. Our lives become very clouded. And so that's what I'd like to share with you this morning as we go through Ephesians 2. We are God's workmanship. We are created in Christ to do good works. That's what he wanted us to do. The Guyana campaign in 2006 and progressing in 2007, a lot of things took place. The Guyana Christian Youth Camp, the medical mission, the Kamaka Skills Training Center that the World Bank has been helping with. Robin and Wayne came on board. Jacob Well Project we'll get into. And the Kamaka Computer Lab is percolating right now. Things are going very, very, very well. This is last year's group. Darlene and Mike and George, myself, Dean, Dana, Jay, and April was last year's group that we went over. I don't know if any of you have ever been to youth camp, but the kids are getting younger and we're getting older. I don't know how that works. But, at the end of the week, we are very, very tired. But I'll tell you, it's a very, very fulfilling and good time on the inside. Robin and Wayne have come on board with us this last year to be our minister. Many of you know and have loved Dexter, and Dexter's been here a lot. Dexter and Winifred got an opportunity to go to England for schooling. And so they moved to England, and now their children are in England, and they are doing well. They're working very hard, but they're doing very well. Robin and Wayne came on board to help us in Kamaka. Robin was born and raised in Kamaka, like four or five houses down from the church. She was baptized on one of our earlier campaigns. The desire in her was so great that she went to preaching school in Georgetown just so she could study and learn more about God. And that's where she found Wayne, or captured Wayne, however you want to look at it. And their life has been one of ministry since then. And that's Robin on the right and her little daughter, Chrissy Ann. Robin, when we went there several years ago, when she was giving birth to Christian, she had a very, very, very difficult time. And, we wasn't sure she was going to make it through the pregnancy and the birth, but, their little daughter, Christian, was born and Robin is doing well, but they are very, very loving, Very loving couple. This is the Kamaka Church, and you've seen it through many times in different slides and pictures that is there and the work that is going on. Sunday morning services, like here. I don't know if you'll notice the young man on the right beside Brother George in the blue. That's Mac and his wife, Orlean. Mac is now attending preaching school. I was talking to Darlene there, and I didn't realize it, but Mac is attending preaching school, and Leston and Sheldon from the Blueberry Hill Church are attending preaching school. We have like three men that, through the efforts that have been going on the last couple of years, are dedicating their lives to seeking the ministry. It's really kind of exciting as you see them grow and as you see them mature. Now, I found this last week, and it's challenging. That's why I wanted to challenge you. It challenged me when I read it. This is from Bill Hybels. He said, every churchgoer has a choice to make. He can park in his usual spot in the church parking lot. He can make his way to a comfortable seat in a favorite row. Mine's right back there. Watch a good service, chat with friends, and then go home. Or he can throw himself into an adventure by rolling up his sleeves, joining a team of like-minded servants, and helping to build the church of God that he has called him to be a part of. Now, you know, as I go through this and I share some of these things with you, I believe in my heart that God has made us a certain way. And all of us want to be a part of something much, much larger than ourselves. And if we spend our whole life, you know, however busy it might be, and I'm not saying through any ill intention, but if our whole life is structured around ourselves, you know, we have a life that can be empty. It can be hollow. It can be at the end of our days, you know, of little value to the rest of mankind. You know, and when I look at us, I know that we're not made that way. I believe that we are made to make a difference. And I would like to challenge you this morning, and you'll look at me and you'll say, Greg, it's kind of contradicting what you're saying, but what I'm saying is I'd like you to start looking deep inside to see where God is calling you to serve in His kingdom. Now, I say this through my own eyes and my experience. You can go and you can start a ministry and you can you can drive and you can kick and you can stir and you can do everything you can do in your own strength to make that work. But the difficulty is it's all in your own strength. It's not God doing the driving and God doing the leading and you doing the filling in and working. And so in my life, I have found where many times I've got that mixed up. In my honest, good desire, my good heart to do different things, I was leading and I was saying, God, this is what we need to do. God, this is the direction we need to go. This is what we need to do to fix this. This is what we need to do that. And when I do that, not because of ill intention, with the best heart and the best desire, it's like I'm running ahead of God and saying, God, this is what we need to do. Now, through the last couple of years, I've realized that there's a different way that I need to be approaching that. I need to be listening to the way that God is leading. I need to be taking His lead in His direction. And then I will find myself just as busy as I was before, but instead I will be doing things that God wants me to do, and it will be through His strength and not my own efforts. And so as I challenge you this morning, I'm going to challenge you to be involved in ministry, but I'm going to challenge you to listen to see where God is leading you. Now, I like to do this for an example. This is a very, very powerful, powerful teaching. Because as you begin to understand this, and this can go to your marriage, this can go to your family, this can go to the church, allowing God to lead instead of us to lead. Now, let me ask, and I know it's dark, I'd like you to keep it that way, but could everybody in here that has the gift of teaching or that is a teacher or fits in that category, please stand up for just a second. Please stand up. I'll let you sit back down. It won't hurt. I promise. Now, okay, I don't know how big a count this is. Okay, everybody please sit down. But I say this because God has placed that desire and that passion upon your heart, and it wasn't something that was man-made, man-driven. And I mean, when you look at that across our flock, what do you think God has raised up in our congregation that we have an abundance of? The gift of teaching. And see, when that starts to happen and that starts to take a lead, that starts to take place in the ministries, then you have God raising up what He needs in His body and His kingdom because it's going to work. Because He's the one driving. He's the one that knows what is needed. Now, I can gesture to say, too, that your gift of teaching, you don't get tired with it. You don't get worn out with it. You don't get so burned up that you can't stand to teach. You go home and think about teaching. You wake up in the middle of my teach thinking about teaching. I know what, you know what I'm saying? And when you have gifts and ministries that are driven in that direction, okay, then everything begins to click because God put it there. Now, what I'm going to say too, and I just use teaching as an example, I know every one of us, if we will get quiet and we will get still and start to listen, that you will be able to start to perceive the passions and the gifts and the abilities that God has put in you to serve in His kingdom. And instead of trying to take that and go with it, if you will sit back and let God bring you the opportunities, then rise up to serve as He brings them to you. Powerful, powerful thing. But can you see how church, how God's church? We were made in God's image with His desires that is our nature. So if you're selfish, you're causing your own grief. We're not made that way. It doesn't work that way. In your marriage, in your life, in your family, we are made to, like our Father, to let it out, to love it out. And when we do that, that things get well. Things get well. We were made in God's image to help sacrifice. There was no cost, and I don't have time to get into that this morning, but the very thing that we're encouraging people to do with ministry is the exact same thing that God does, continues to do, and is doing right now. He is sparing no cost trying to draw you back to Him. He has spared no cost, and He challenged you to be like Him and spare no cost. Wayne preaching, and the youth, I walked down the streets of Kamaka about 2 or 3 years ago, and I could not believe all the children that I have seen, that I was seeing on the streets. It was like a gold mine. I told Ernie, there's just kids everywhere. This is wonderful. Now, I have said the same thing to Jay, and I feel it with my heart at least once, probably twice this year. I look over Reynoldsburg, and I see a gold mine, and I'm not talking about money. I see a gold mine with the talents and the passions that God has put you on the heart enough to rock Reynoldsburg. Okay? But I think we need to be quiet, we need to be still, we need to listen, and then we need to serve. And so, that's the way I see you in my heart, honestly. That's the way I see. I said, there is unlimited potential in these walls. Unlimited. And God has put these passions and desires. Youth, Robin shares a great love for children, and we're working with her starting Children's Church. We've been trying to work. I've been trying to take notes from Kathy and the Children's Church program that we have and the 24/7, and I've been trying to pass those on to Wayne. I've been trying to pass him on the small group program that's set up and things like that to help the congregation down there. The children's classes, this last year, the generosity has been so great. I've been able to help with $100 a month that I told them to do nothing but put with the children. And so they developed a children's team or a leadership team, or I forget what they told me what they named it. But this group of individuals, their whole desire is to take this $100. $100 is a lot of money for them. Okay, to take that and invest that in their children and their kids, which is just wonderful. And some great, great, great things are happening. Some of our ladies donated money for a playground. And I know it's not quite like the playgrounds we have here, but this is wonderful for these kids. Out there in front of the church building where they can play and have fun. And a month or so ago, I think they even put up a basketball hoop. So things are really taking place. Now, if you've been to Guyana with me, this used to be all dirt and mud and everything else like that. But because of the efforts of the World Bank, Dexter, before he left, helped us to get a grant from the World Bank. It was like $9,000, $9,500. From that, we started the Kamaka Skills Training Center. And so the church there now is pulling in people from the community, teaching them how to read, teaching them how to write, teaching them how to do the little businesses where they can make money, teaching them about HIV awareness. AIDS is, I can't tell you, I can name at least three people on top of my head right now, two of members of the church that have died of AIDS. I go over there one time and I come back and they're gone. So prevalent over in that country. It's sad. But that's Robin and Chrissy Ann. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of our kids. Oh, I'm sorry, Dean. I didn't. When Dean gets over there, you can't tell him from the children. He just blossoms. Whether that's good or bad, we'll have to ask Dana later. But the kids are over there. Mike, if I can talk about Mike, I think Mike's here somewhere. We'll talk about him anyway. If Mike has a passion and a talent, it's with youth. I've seen those kids and him. And it's like the two become one. It's amazing what takes place there with the children with Michael. Guyana Christian Youth Camp, I'm going to go through pretty quick. Dean and I went over there, and on 04, this was the first year's camp. A brand new thing as we began it. And, the Lord just said, we got and we followed, and this is what began to happen. And this is 05, and then this is last year. Now, we're still working with 21 beds. That's all the beds we got. And so as we get bigger, there's more and more of us in a bed and more of us on the floor and stuff like that. But anyway, the camp's not growing, but we are. So I'm not sure what this year will hold, but you know, the lives of many of these children are being touched and changed by your help and by the things that are going on. It's just amazing. If you've never been to youth camp, you got to try it. If you can live through it, it's a wonderful experience. I'm getting older. I don't know what to say. Hey, now there's a difference between Guyana camp and America camp. When you go to camp in America and it's you put the kids to bed at 9:30, okay, you got to get out there with a rifle and make sure they don't get out of the cabins, okay? I mean, you got to literally chase them down. You really got to keep them pinned up. Well, we went to Guyana. We were ready for it. Dean and I had worked out a plan, and when we put these kids to bed and they start climbing out the windows and everything else, we were ready. You know, in Guyana, the children are so respectful. We put them to bed, they went to bed. That's all there was to it. We never had a problem at night. We never had them getting up and running around. We never had them going anywhere. I mean, we couldn't believe it. It's like something, but it was just an amazing thing. But there's a craft class, 24/7. Now, this is the second year they've done it. You put together little packets for the kids there, and they're going back to the children there. Now, I don't know if you can recognize it, but those are all your packets that you guys made up that those children did at craft class. You know, I'd like to say camp is just for teenagers, but our camp is changing where it's not only teenagers, it's not only young adults, but last year we had so many adults wanting to come. I mean, we had adults and mothers, and I mean, there were a lot of adults last year, and we didn't want to turn them away because of the spiritual things that were taking place. This is Femi, Dexter's daughter, in rap class. One of the things that Wally helped us start as we have camp is every afternoon we have a class where the boys meet and the girls meet, and we talk about boys' things and we talk about girls' things. And it's a really, really good time for teenagers as they're growing up. Really, really good time. Here's the 10 and 14-year-olds with the, I think April and Jay are putting them to sleep. I'm not sure, but something like that going on. Dion, we found a barbecue. This is from our camp kitchen. The lady is preparing the food for all the campers. We have some wonderful cooks. Dean and the kids, and there it is very, very, very hot. So we have swimming at least two, sometimes three times a day, but it is so hot during the during the day that, now if you'll notice that water, I don't know if I can go backwards or not. This water is the color of the water in Guyana. I don't know if you watch the songs, but Dion literally found Keturah Falls. That is Keturah Falls on the songs this morning. And that water looks just like iced tea. That's the way the normal color of the water is over there. And so, you know, when you're drinking and stuff like that, that's the difficulty over there, the water that is there. That's kind of our, as we have camp. Calisthenics in the morning, you have breakfast, you have classes, you have swimming, you have lunch, you have classes, you have swimming, you have classes, supper, singing, worship, and then the very last thing in the night is we get around a campfire. And that is a very, very powerful time as we have a small devotional around a campfire with the kids. There's something about fire and quietness and singing to God and studying in front of the campfire. Just a really powerful time. The medical mission, many of you know the background on that. We had intended to bring U.S. doctors, and it just didn't work out. But what happened was a team of Guyanese doctors gathered together. And I don't know, last year, we may have had 15 to 20 people involved in the medical mission, all local people. Doctors giving their time, nurses giving their time, nurses' assistants giving their time, pharmacists giving their time. And what we've done is the money that you have donated and given to me, I turned around and sent $1,000 of that last year for medicine. And Steve took that medicine. Steve Mark, I'll show you his picture, and he went to all the drug companies in Georgetown, and he got them to give him medicine at reduced prices, and then he got them to give him free medicine, and he went to the local hospitals, and they donated free medicine. Time we got done, I had a room solid full of drugs. But I mean, it was a wonderful thing. Please, it was a wonderful thing. When we left last year's medical mission, there was enough medicine left over that when we left, they were going to have another medical mission after we left. And the doctor said, we'll pay for all the transportation and gas. We're going to go upriver and help more people. And so I didn't get the report on back there. But that there is what happens in the medical mission. All the time the doctor is there, that's the waiting room at the clinic, is completely solid full of a lot of children and mothers trying to get their children seen by the doctors and the people that need medical attention. So the medicine that you give has been so valuable. Steve is a young pharmacist. He's training to be a doctor, and he's been organizing it for me and his wife, Natasha, and then his four little children. So very, very good thing. There's the drugs. If you can imagine them being all the way around the other side of the room too, that's what kind of went on in the supplies. And it really works well because they get the things they need. You know, if I bought the things for them, I'd buy them stuff they didn't need, but they get the things that they need, you know, in the climate and everything that is there. Last year we saw 219 people, 19 people in the HIV area, and then 24. We had a dentist last year pulling teeth. Many of you recognize Sister Jean and her daughter Wendy. They help a lot. We've asked to keep Sister Jean in her prayers. She fell in her yard this year and she damaged her spine. And so she's been immobile for the last couple months. So we're anxious to get down and see and be with her. World Bank, I told you about that. That is some of the things that have started from the World Bank that are all flowing from the church in Kamaka. The people in the community are coming to Kamaka for all the things that are flowing from there. And it's just really a powerful time for our influencing a community and especially the children that is going on. Fall projects, many of you have been helping with this. Right now, all the well system is in Kamaka, okay? It's all there, but I did not allow them to install it because I had visions of everything we sent floating down the river, okay? So I'm having them wait till I get there. But what we are going to do is right back here on the backside where you don't see is a house, we're going to run two pieces of piping all the way across that river to the other side. On the other side, if you see in the very left-hand part of that picture, is a freshwater stream that comes into the river. It's always flowing in. So we're going to run two pipe down across the river, down the bottom of the river, back up to the river, up through that stream, then up the stream some ways, so they always get fresh, clean water coming from that stream. I got a price on a well. The bid come back at $85,000, $95,000. You know, I could buy Kamaka for that. And so this is what we're going to do. Now, I'm going to chlorinate that water. So when I get done with the water, it'll be as good as your Columbus water. I hate to say that, people, but, you know, you get your water from the lakes and the rivers, too. So anyway, we're going to fix that up so it's good, clean, and drinking water. But that's going to be part of the project of the first week, along with a marriage enrichment seminar in the evenings as we go through here. But because of your help, we bought all the equipment. I didn't put the pictures in there. Kamaka Computer Lab. Many of you brought in your computers. I know you thought it was the biggest mess you'd ever seen, but out of those 36 computers, Perry and I made 24 good ones. Okay? Your computer is probably not in whole over there, I don't imagine, because we were like doing surgery, bits and pieces and parts. But we got 24 good ones over there, and they have started computer training classes now in Kamaka. They have two teachers set up, and two nights a week they're training people how to use computers. So it's really, really going very, very well. Goals for 207, a lot of that is taking place, and that's what we've been talking about. Now, let's get back to us, and then I'm closing down. The thing that I think it's important to do, and you know, if you're married and you have a husband-wife relationship, sometimes your wife can be talking so much you can't get a word in. Or maybe your husband will be talking so much you can't say anything. Okay? I firmly believe right now that in our relationship with God that that's the way it is. We are so consumed with what we know and what we would like to do and the direction that we would like to go that God cannot get a word in edgewise. And so what I'd like to propose to you is in your ministries, I know that some of you already know where you fit. You know where you're working. You know where it clicks. You know where God is allowing you to serve, okay? But if you do not know that yet, the difficult thing I've always run into is, okay, Greg, how do you do that? How do you do that? So you sit back until you die and you don't know what you're supposed to do. You know what I mean? How's that take place? Well, this is what I would suggest. I would like to suggest that in your life, if you will sit back and for the next 6 months, I have this on here, let's take, these are words from somebody else, but the words fit really well. For 6 months, take the great gamble. Follow the model of Jesus with reckless abandon. Take every opportunity to serve, okay? Be the one who opens the door for others. Choose the back seat of the car so your friend can sit in the front. Take out the garbage even though it's not your turn, usually not your job. Volunteer to clean up or put chairs up after an event. Take the arm of an elderly person and help them negotiate stairs in a department store or where they're going. Open your eyes, keep your servant towel handy, and monitor the condition of your heart. So what I'd like to challenge you with and leave you with, if right now you're not sure where God would have you to serve, I would challenge you the next 6 months, don't take a direction, don't make a plan, Okay? Just take and change your whole life to the point when there's an opportunity, you're going to take it to be humble and to serve and to help. And to sit back and see where in the next 6 months that God will take you and guide you to be of service, to work and labor in His kingdom. I know, like all of you, that I want to do something with my life. I want, when they get ready to bury me in the ground, at least somebody is going to have me a little bit closer to heaven because Greg tried. And I know that you all share that same heart and that same desire. And so what I'm challenging you to do is, okay, let's just take up our towels like Jesus. Let's just go wash everybody's feet if that's neat, what it'd be washed. If I need to take out the garbage, let's take out the garbage. You know, whatever needs to be done, let's, for the next few months, let's just try to do that and see where God begins to gently lead you in His kingdom. Now, I put this words here if I got it right. And I tried to write it right. These are my words, so if you don't understand, please, that's understandable. Be quiet and serve God, and God will gently lead you into the full flow of His will. I was studying a book about a year ago, and he was describing trying to live a life of being filled with the Spirit. And the author described it this way, like if you're in the ocean and you're floating. Okay, and I don't know if you've been in a swimming pool or the ocean like that. You can't touch the bottom, okay? You can't touch the bottom. You got your hand off the side, and there's none of those little blue rubber rafties around your, you know, your waist. You're just sitting here floating with the water. And wherever the water takes you, that's where you're going to go. Now, that's what I would like to challenge you with this morning, that we be quiet enough and we be still enough. We put on our towels. Let's begin to serve and see where God would take us, see what God would raise up on our lives, see what God would do with us as a family. That's my challenge. If any of you need to respond to the invitation, if you'd like to become a child of God, come on up front here and we'll baptize you. If you'd like to get your life back in another direction, from my own personal standpoint, as I get older, I have figured out that life at times is hard. Greg, you'll say, Greg, you're a slow learner. But a lot of times, our lives get so busy and so difficult, they just become hard. And we need in our lives to be able to, thank you. We need in our lives to be able to step back and say, okay, what is important? What is the meaning of the life that I have? What direction should it take? So if you need to make those changes, you need to make those switches. I'm not saying this so everybody gets all excited. I don't mean it to be that way. But I'm saying God has a plan. God wants to pull you and suck you into His will, so He is just taking you into the full flow. And I'm saying release so that you can go into that full flow and follow Him. Thank you.